afternoon. Thank you all for being here. You can see, we're part of the National Council of La Raza. It's the Institute for Hispanic Health. And I have no relationships to disclose. I'm going to just give you a brief overview of what we do at NCLR. But I have left some handouts in the back that you can take with you about NCLR as an organization and also the Institute for Hispanic Health, which houses all of the health initiatives. Essentially, we primarily serve low-income Hispanics of all subgroups in all regions of the United States, including Puerto Rico. And we usually target underserved Latinos who may also be limited in literacy skills in Spanish and English. So I'm just going to give you a brief overview of our project, our methodology for our situational analysis, and just give you public health implications for each of the profiles that we created for the Latino community. And just, you know, we've been talking about cervical cancer, HPV, but one of the issues that, we face in the Latino community is the disparity rates. And Hispanic women are 2 times more likely than non-Hispanic white women to develop and die from cervical cancer. And although cervical cancer is one of the most preventable types of cancers that there is, Latino women have some of the lowest screening rates, and oftentimes when they are diagnosed with cervical cancer, they are at their later stages, which reduces their chances of survival. Very few studies have examined the social and cultural acceptability of cervical cancer, to our knowledge, and particularly among Latinos, and not just, we've seen studies that address mothers, you know, and their concerns, but we wanted to see overall the picture of what are women, you know, who are Spanish-speaking thinking, what are women who are non-Spanish, like, you know, are primarily English-speaking feeling about the vaccine, and not just that, but what is the men's role in this, and what are their perspectives on the vaccine? So the objectives of this project were essentially to find, identify the hindering factors and also those that facilitate whether the Latinos would accept or reject the vaccine, and not just the vaccine, but also other cervical cancer prevention measures, such as the Pap test. And we wanted to identify strategies and provide recommendations based on the findings from, you know, the barriers that Latinos were facing. So this is a situational analysis that we conducted, and to do this, we went and identified key public health leaders. We conducted 12 in-depth interviews in 4 different states, which included Washington, D.C., North Coast, Georgia, Youngstown, Ohio, and Dallas, Texas. And as you can see in this table, most of them were born in the U.S., and including Puerto Rico, but they also had been living for a long time in the community that they were serving, and that's what we really wanted. We want to make sure that these key leaders knew their community in and out. And this is just a description of, you know, where they were coming from. Were they community-based organizations? Were they healthcare practitioners? Did they have their own private practices? Or were they leaders in state health departments? And as you can see, they have all different types of charges within the organizations, and they oftentimes served the Latino community, and they offered cervical cancer prevention services. And if they didn't, they made sure to refer these patients to services where they could obtain these. Most of the communities, actually all of them, served low-income communities, and on average, we just averaged out how much time they spend serving Latinos in particular, and they ranged between 16% to 100%. So besides the in-depth interviews, we also conducted focus group discussions with participants, community members. And we did this through our affiliates, which are community-based organizations, and they're located all across the United States. But for this particular project, again, we focus in these 4 areas because this is where we see a large disparity in terms of cervical cancer outcomes in Latinas. And these are just descriptions of the 4 different types of focus groups we held. There were a total of 16, but there were 4 for each of these. And the first group was for Hispanic females who were born in the U.S., whose primary language was English, and they were between 18 and 30 years old. The second group were, again, Hispanic females, but these were primarily Spanish-speaking Latinas, and their they were not born in the U.S., and they were also between ages 18 and 30. The third group was for Hispanic females who had female girls, like female children, between ages 10 and 17, but whose primary language was Spanish. And then lastly, we had a group of Hispanic males, and these included men who were between ages 18 and 31. We had a 31-year-old, and whose primary language was Spanish, but half of these men were fathers, but then also half of them were either husbands or boyfriends. So just, you know, overview, because of time, we just wanted to show you what were the common themes in all of these, you know, in-depth interviews with the key leaders. And basically what the healthcare professionals stated is that for Latino men and women, it's always the healthcare provider that is the most trusted source of information. That's the way they perceived it. And they also stated that they don't really know, like women, when they come to the offices, they don't really know enough of the vaccine to even have an opinion on it. So they feel very uncertain about, you know, whether or not they should get this. The vaccine also should be presented as a cervical cancer prevention measure as opposed to just an STD, you know, for the human papillomavirus infection, because it, you know, they stated in the Latino community it's more socially acceptable. It's actually more well accepted to look at something from a cervical cancer view because, you know, not only does it remove that stigma of being sexually active if you're not a married young woman, but it can also be taken more seriously because of the link to mortality with cancer. The vaccine should also be presented in the same way to all, and by this we mean like what type of information should we really be giving out. And they said males, females, fathers and mothers should be receiving the same information to be consistent, and that way, you know, everybody can be in the know. And again, the healthcare professionals didn't really know. When we asked them about what they thought were the males' perspective on the vaccine, they were unsure. They had no idea. And they said, actually, we don't really know. I don't know. And that was the most common answer that we were given. They were also not aware of any cervical cancer, HPV, or vaccine information that was directed toward Latino males specifically. And they felt that the existing resources that were targeting Latina women were somewhat effective, but they said, you know what, we really could improve the cultural competence of these materials. A lot of them are just translated to Spanish, and that's not really effective with our group. And finally, an effective approach, we were asked, you know, if resources were unlimited, what do you think would be the best strategy to reach out to Latinas and Latinas? They said a campaign, holding a campaign that's specifically targeting them, both Latinos and Latinas. In terms of the focus group findings, we found that the main barriers, and I know this is probably nothing new, is that, you know, cultural beliefs in the Latino community are a huge barrier. A lot of times for females, it's that, you know, or their husbands or their fathers won't let them obtain these prevention services. Lack of resources, as all of my colleagues mentioned, you know, if money were facilitated, if, you know, then transportation were also facilitated, women would be more likely to receive these services. Again, limited access to information. Many felt that they didn't have enough sexual health education to understand, you know, that was in their language or that was easy to understand or linguistically appropriate for their educational level. And again, immigration status, which is a huge barrier in the Latino community. So in terms of what the community really knew, we found that their information is limited and it's often inaccurate. Like they may know about things, but it's a little twisted and a little diverted from reality. For example, some of them said, oh yeah, the vaccine is actually something that's, you know, it's injected into the ovaries. Or the pap test is, you know, they come in, they take you in, and they take a piece of flesh out of your uterus. So these are the concepts that they had, and we felt that, you know, a lot of them were based on personal experiences. They had relatives who suffered from, you know, a cervical cancer or somebody else who went and got the vaccine, but nothing really, like, the doctors were not really the ones educating the patients. And what do they need in order to seek cervical cancer preventions? Well, they need more information. They stated that, you know, if they were to know more about the services that are available and have resources facilitated to them, that it would be, you know, it would help them make a decision about it. Now, they also felt that more information about cervical cancer itself would be helpful, and about the vaccine. And then and we also felt like, you know, we need to correct these false beliefs about all of these concepts, what it is to actually get the vaccine. A lot of them said, you know, once one of the participants said, vacunar a las niñas es como darles licencia para que tengan sexo. Basically, getting the vaccine to the girls is like giving them a license to have sex. So these are the concepts that we want to alter. So one of the public health implications that NCLR, you know, suggests is following something like this. This is our Promotores de Salud model, and it's just a way that we conduct research in our community through lay health educators. And we follow these five different stages where we first plan our activities, we conduct formative research to really understand, although we have this data here, this is just representative of these four states. And even still, there may be differences between, you know, Hispanic sub-origin groups. We also develop our materials based on the input that we receive from community members, make sure that they're culturally competent and linguistically appropriate to the community we're serving. We go out and field test these materials to see if they are doing what we mean for them to do, and then we evaluate and follow up, especially when we have areas such as these where, you know, we need to make sure that if women are screened and cancer is detected, we need to make sure that they're treated. So these are just a few profiles, and I'm just going to point out, I know they're very busy, but they're profiles by each of the groups of the focus groups that we held, and I'm just going to point out the main differences of all of these. Of course, the main concerns for this English-speaking Latinas were, you know, just in terms of sexual health is like, you know, having safe sexual practices, being safe in terms of not getting infected, taking care of themselves physically, emotionally, and mentally. But they also felt that their partner had a lot to do with maintaining their sexual health. They felt like they could work with them in that sense. They had some basic information about the Pap test, but they really obtained this from their mothers and also the TV. They know what they need to do. Like, they know that they have to go get a Pap test. They know that there's a vaccine out there, but they're not really sure why they have to go get these things done. They just know that they have to. And also their attitudes about the vaccine and the Pap test, they just feel confused. They don't have enough information to know really what they need to do. And they may feel that the vaccine is only necessary when sexually active and the Pap test is only necessary then or when you're pregnant. And in terms of acceptability, they felt that if they had the resources, they would accept it, but they may also obtain the test if they're told by their mothers to get them or the vaccine. So in terms of public health implications, just make sure that you have bilingual and accurate educational material, things that explain to them what it is that they need to get and why they need to do that. For the Spanish-speaking Latinas, it was approximately the same thing, but they felt like, you know, they couldn't really count on their partners, so they felt more like they had to make sure that they were protected from these things, you know, because you can't tell the men to do anything. They're not going to do that for us. So they felt like, you know, they needed that support. So they also had very limited comparison to English-speaking, very limited information on the vaccine and the Pap test. Again, they felt that the vaccine was only necessary when sexually active. They were confused, but they were also they didn't really see the vaccine as the best preventive measure for HPV. They actually felt they were more faith-oriented, and they felt, well, if it's God's will for us to get this, then it will. We can depend on our faith to be okay. So we decided, you know, some of the things that we need to consider is to really have peer support for these women and provide opportunities to share their concerns about their personal beliefs. For the Spanish-speaking mothers, the main thing that stuck out to us was, you know, they really felt responsible for educating their girls, but they didn't have the right information to do this. And in terms of their acceptance, they felt like they really might reject the vaccine because they felt that, you know, it might encourage girls to be sexually active. And also, they themselves didn't obtain the Pap test until they had their first baby. So what we suggest for this group is that, you know, have family-focused interventions and to also include parent-child sexual health education in these. And for males, what was unique about this group is, you know, same issue going across, lack of information, there's not enough, you know, they feel confused about these, but they felt that they needed to support their wives. Not their girlfriends, but only their wives. They mentioned that, you know, they were a committed relationship. They felt the duty that they needed to take care of them, provide them the money to go get these services. And so we decided, well, looking at all of this, we felt, well, we need to start targeting men so that they feel like, you know, this is not just something that there's a stigma out there that says that only men transmit HPV in the Latino community, and it's something very common. So we decided, as an institution, we said, well, you know what? We need more information targeting men because they are very strong decision makers in the families. And that's exactly one of the three recommendations is to increase knowledge about cervical cancer prevention, increase peer support for all of the groups, and to, you know, that are sensitive to the Latino culture values, and increase access to quality healthcare that includes screening and treatment. And if you have any questions, feel free to email Dr. Maria Rosa. She's the principal investigator.